Started talking about wisdom. And last week I talked about how the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and how that if we have awe and respect of God, it brings a humility to us. And that out of that humility, we have to seek out His Word, and we seek out Him and His teachings. And if we do that, He is freely going to share that with us. And we can build on that, and we can receive that wisdom, and godly wisdom, which is deeper and more valuable than anything that we can imagine. That once we receive it, sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with me, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. It's also available today on the live event YouVersion, if you have your YouVersion with you. Sometimes wisdom can be difficult. You see, wisdom has its problems. It's sometimes going to bring some grief in your life. Solomon writes this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, "I, the teacher, was king of Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ever ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of the wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to understanding wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is chasing after the wind." In verse 18, "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." That's a bummer, isn't it? You're like, Jason, you just talked last week, like, we should pursue wisdom. And here's the guy, Solomon, he is king of Israel, and he says, I pursued it like no one else. As a matter of fact, in other parts of the Bible, it tells us that was his prayer. When he became king, he prayed to God. He said, of all the things, give me not riches or wealth, but give me wisdom. And God did. He poured it out on him. And when he got it, this is what he writes. He says, "I consider all things that were done under the sun. What a heavy burden God has laid on man." The burden of men is hard. But if we can take a moment and pause, let us remember it was not God that put the burden on us. You see, if we go back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden, we had it made. He said, God said, I made perfection and I put you in the middle of it, and you can go and do, you don't have to work. Ladies, you can have childbirth, there's no pain. Give me a big amen on that one, all right? Didn't say raising the children there was no pain, but in childbirth there was no pain. Like the animals, they could talk to animals. They got along. It's after sin is introduced, after Satan introduced it to Eve and passed it along to Adam, and they sinned and broke their covenant with God, that God says, look, you're going to have a hard way to go now. What you used to just pluck and pick and eat, you now have to work. I know we got some farmers in here. Y'all got to work, right? That seed don't plant itself, does it? And when the crops grow, it don't jump in the barn by itself. And those of us who eat it, if we go get it in a nice little can. You know, I love how corn went from this cob to a can. There was a process in that. I'm thankful for that process. Because it's a whole lot easier for me to open a can than it is to go grow some corn. But God said, you know what, it's going to be hard. And it wasn't his problem. It was ours. It says, all the things are meaningless. I looked at myself and it says, I have grown and increased in wisdom. He got himself a couple of PhDs and knowing just about everything. And then he not only got the information and knowledge, but he applied it. And he said, and I studied, how did that apply to men and their folly? And I found out, you know what? In the end, it's all meaningless. In the end, all it brings is sorrow and grief. When I was reading this passage, I thought of immediately there was a Toby Keith song. Some of y'all may know it. It says that if I didn't know now what I didn't know then. And it's a song about how he found out that his wife was cheating. And he's like, at least if I were to still be ignorant, I'd be what? Happy. Because in ignorance, there's bliss. We have these little phrases and we talk about them. But it's so true. Why was it when you were a child, the things of this world really didn't bother you so much? You were concerned mostly about playtime and then some more playtime, and God forbid you had to go to school. Occasionally your mom made you take a bath. And then candy. You know, we had to worry about not much. I think about when I was growing up in the 70s and the problems that were going on in the world then, and I was totally ignorant of them. I was more concerned about saving up $1.75 so I could go to Kmart and buy the new Star Wars toy. I wasn't at all concerned the fact that, you know, we're in double-digit interest and that inflation's going out of control. I didn't know what that meant. I was in bliss. I was reminded of what the human condition is like when I watched this weekend, I watched a theatrical version of William Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. And I know for most of us, it was probably high school was the last time that we broke open any Shakespeare, but I challenge you to go back and look at some of his writings because he captures the human spirit so well. And in this play, there was two lovers that fall in love. Young Claudio, who's the chief of the army and best friends with the prince, and young Hero, the daughter of a very wealthy nobleman. And they are set to marry, and they're at the home waiting for the marriage. But the prince has this devilish, evil brother, Don Paul, and he says, I'm going to break this up. And so he comes in, and he creates a false scenario where it appears as though Hero is unfaithful to Claudio. And he connects Claudio to this fact by bringing him to underneath the window of Hero's bedroom, and somebody pretending to Hero conveys her love to some other man. And Claudio is heartbroken. And he waits to the next morning on the day of their wedding, and he confesses to her his knowledge of her unfaithfulness and curses her and turns his back and says, I would never marry you, and runs off. And she faints, and those there think that she has died. Later on, it is discovered that that was all false. But in that meantime, Claudio laments having loved her, having poured out his heart to her. And if he had known back in the 16th century, William Shakespeare probably would have quoted Toby Keith, if I'd only known now what I knew then, I would not have done what I did. That is what life is like sometimes. When we seek truth and we find it, when we seek wisdom and we find it, it sometimes brings heartache and it brings us pain. Because once you see the world in the correct way, the way God sees it, sometimes you can't go back. Now later the truth is revealed. Claudio is reunited with Hero and all is well. But it doesn't always work out that way in our lives. There may have been a coworker that once you see what they're really doing, they're stealing from you as the boss. You have to deal with that fact. Maybe you have a spouse who is cheating. And once you discover that, you can't go back. Maybe you have a child who you find out is not following your instructions, and instead of following the ways of God, is following the ways of the world. Once you've seen that, you can't unsee it. You can't unknow it. And you have to deal with it. It can sometimes be difficult. Wisdom also has another problem. Not everyone wants to hear it. Not everybody likes to hear the truth. Solomon writes in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, beginning in verse 13, "I also saw under the sun the example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it. And a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge sedge works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." There may be times in your life that you are right, that your truth is what would save your marriage, your relationship, your company. But because someone else speaks louder, draws the attention, you're not heard. Not always do people want your wisdom or understand it or appreciate it. But I challenge you, it does not mean that you stop giving it. Because the world sees our wisdom, the truth of Jesus Christ, is the one true way, as foolishness. And they will do everything they can to clamor and be louder and distract us from that truth. Does that mean we should give up? Does that mean that we should quit proclaiming it? Absolutely not. I'm reminded of this as a parent whenever I tell my children truth and wisdom, but they don't always follow it. But I'm reminded the Bible tells us that if you train up a child in the way that he should go, that they shall return to it later. And I know myself, I had my time, as many of us do. I had loving Christian parents who took me to church and poured God into me and poured scripture into me. And there was a time in my life when I turned my back to that. But when push comes to shove, and you get to the end of that road of foolishness, and you realize it's a dead end, the beauty of it is wisdom is right there with you. Proverbs says that she walks with you. She cries out in the marketplace, telling you which way to go. And she warns us that there is a temptress, a false truth, that wants to lead you into death. But we have true wisdom. We cannot stop telling it and sharing it. It doesn't make it any less true or any less wise just because others don't listen to it. For hundreds of years, people said the planet is not flat. There were some people who said that it has to be round. But it wasn't until people sailed around it and didn't fall off the edge that people finally believed it. It didn't mean that during that whole time that it wasn't round. For hundreds of years, people thought that the earth stood still and the rest of the universe revolved around us. Many teenagers have this same falsehood. We still have not yet disputed that. But when we finally got telescopes and were able to look out into the galaxy and realize, yeah, we're just like one little rock on the outskirts of a medium-sized galaxy in a universe that's vastly larger than we ever imagined. But it doesn't change the fact that we are loved by God, or that He knows us by name, or counts the hairs on our head, and knows the days of our lives, and the thoughts of our hearts, and loves us anyways. See, our wisdom, our truth that we have in Christianity is this. God, the creator of the entire universe, loves you. That wisdom is not going to change. That truth is not going to change. And there may be people who are king of fools and shout louder than you, but it doesn't make them right. Volume does not make it better. That's why many times you read in the Bible that God came and he whispered to people. You have to listen. But when we share that truth, it's not always going to be appreciated. Now that I probably have depressed you a little bit because I've said, hey, let's pursue wisdom, and really it's got its big problems and brings nothing but grief and sorrow. And when you do share it, people aren't going to listen to you and consider you the fool. Let me give you some good news. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 22 says this. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths are divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life to you. The good news is that there is value in wisdom that's worth the trouble. This weekend I ran into an old coworker that I hadn't seen for over 12 years. And we used to work together in a group called Adult Protective Services. And Adult Protective Services, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a group that's sponsored by the local prosecuting department that we would go out and we would investigate cases of abuse and neglect for people who were over the age of 18, who, because of mental status or physical status, were incapable of making their own decisions. In other words, people who, even though that they may be of age, they weren't quite able to take care of themselves. And this also included those who were elderly and those who had dementia and those who were supposedly being taken care of by loved ones. And I could just go on and tell you some stories. Many of them you would not believe. And my friend and I, as we shared some of those remembrances, and one of the things that he said, and I thought it was so timely, he said, you know, once you see that, you can't not see that anymore. Once you know what goes on behind people's closed doors, you can't not know that. He said, all that I could do and all that we did, now I was blessed because this man is a man of God and he is active in his church and he is a Christian, and there was another man that was an investigator with us and he also was a Christian, and many times before and after we would visit somebody, we would pray. And we would pray sometimes with the families if they were wanting us to. And I was reminded, it's worth it. Because, yes, there were times when we walked into situations that were horrible. No human being should live that way. No person should be treated by loved ones the way that they were treated. But there were other times where people were just desperate and they didn't know better. They didn't have knowledge. They didn't have wisdom. They didn't know how to care for their grandmother or their child or whoever it was that they were caring for. And we were able to provide that knowledge and that wisdom and the services and connect them to people who did know. And we came back in follow-ups and saw people alive and loving in a household that had been transformed. Because why? Because the truth is worth the trouble. Wisdom will bring life. I have seen it. It brings glory and honor to God. And we see at the very beginning, God says, I, with wisdom, set the heavens and the earth. With wisdom, he told the planets how to go and revolve around each other. With wisdom, he told the rain how to cycle. With wisdom, he created the universe. That wisdom brings life. And I shared with you last week from James, he says, if you need wisdom, ask it, and God will share it with you. Why is it worth the trouble? Because it brings life. Imagine what little knowledge that we have, what little wisdom that we have, and some of the grief that we have gone through, some of the grief that we share, the heartache, the breaking of our hearts when we hear a news report of neglect or abuse. Now imagine God, who knows all, sees all, what his heart must go through. And despite that, he still loves us. He still looks at his children and says, I love you, and I sent my son to die on a cross for you. And today, I will accept you. Today. You don't have to get cleaned up. You don't have to fix things. You just come as you are. And I will share my wisdom with you, and my wisdom is this. L-O-V-E, love. When it boils down to it, that is the wisdom of God. It is with love that he built the universe. It is with love that he created us. It is with love that he sent his son. When it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's not talking about planets and rocks. He's talking about me and you. And Paul writes, before the laying the foundation, he knew you and predestined you, chose you to be in Christ, knowing Christ would go to the cross. The wisdom of God is love. And as our dear heroine and heroines, heroes and heroines of Much Ado About Nothing found out by the end of the play, love is worth the battle. Even more so the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. Thank you so much that you do share your wisdom with us, that you share your love with us. God, we're unworthy. We're rebellious. We're hard-hearted. We're stiff-necked. But God, you love us anyways. I pray, God, that for those who may be in this room that have accepted that love, that knows that relationship, may we cherish it, may we value it, and may we share it with others. And God, I pray for those in this room who have not yet found that love and that truth. I pray that your Holy Spirit move on them, that their heart be humbled, that they accept it and seek you. For without that truth, without that wisdom, without that love, there is no life, only death. God, I just pray that you would just bless these words. May it sink to the hearts of people, and may they seek you. In your name we pray. Amen.